Well, today we're going to talk about what is needed to finish the race, and it is perseverance. I imagine all of you have in your mind what you would like to be said to you or about you at the end of your life. Have you thought about that? What would you like said to you or about you at the end of your life? Write it down. We might say it, right? But I can tell you the key to that is perseverance. And that's what Hebrews chapter 12 is going to teach us today. So if you've got your Bible, let's just follow along. Begin in verse 1 of Hebrews chapter 12. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, he's talking about Hebrews chapter 11. He talks about all these people who lived their life saying, hey, you ought to trust God and live for God. He says, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down. That's a great phrase. It means he's finished. And he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. You've got a race to run. It's called life. You've got a course to run. It's called life. And the ending, I think, that we desire, if you're a Jesus follower, the ending we desire is what? We want at the end of our life for it to be said, what? Well done, good and faithful servant. I think that's what we'd like, or some version of that. We understand that from Scripture in Matthew chapter 25 when Jesus tells a story. And he gives each one of his servants in this story, this master does it, and gives him 1 5 bags of gold, 1 2 bags of gold, 1 1 bag of gold. And it says the master went away, but he came back and there was going to be an accounting. And to two of the servants, what does he say? Well done, good and faithful servant. And so we kind of want that. But here's the interesting thing. Louis Giglio, I saw something he wrote not long ago that reminded me. I never really thought about it. Do you know that Jesus Christ is the only one that can give you that? It doesn't really matter what your friends think, because you've been at somebody's funeral and you're sitting in the visitation line and they're going, I know he got the well done, good and faithful servant. How do you know? You've heard people like me that stand in places like this and funerals and go, he no doubt got the well done, good and faithful servant. We're just making that up, by the way. I'll let you in on a secret. Because we can't give that. Your mom and daddy can't give that. Your kids can't give it. Nobody can give it but Jesus. And Jesus is the one that reminds us that we've got this race to run. Because Jesus is the only one that can give it, because Jesus is the only one that knows what you've been given. You have no idea what I've been given. You have no idea. I have no idea what you've been given. You don't know the opportunities God has given me. I don't know the opportunities God's given you. Only Jesus knows all the times that you did things that no one saw, good and bad. Only Jesus knows all the times that you continued to move forward in faith when you didn't understand and when you didn't. So as you think about the end of your life, it is only Jesus that can look at you and say, hey, well done, good and faithful servant. You ran the race that I gave you. But I think we desire that. You know, I get asked to do people's funeral often before they die. And my family has been lining me up to do their funerals and they're not dead yet. And so I had one of my sister-in-law, Joellen's brother's wife, who's great, said, listen, I want you to go ahead and start putting some things together for my funeral. She's very young. I said, I'm probably not going to be here when you die, but I want you to go ahead and put some things together. And then she said this, and I want you to go ahead and tell me what they are so I can hear them before I die. Right? I think a little of us kind of go, that's a pretty good idea. And so later on, she and I were texting, and she's the greatest person, so sweet, so kind. She said something to me. I said, that's so kind of you to say that. And she says, put that in my notes and use that when you sell it. We all kind of want to write our funeral, but the reality is you're writing it right now. You're writing your end story. You're writing your end game. And I love to read in Scripture, and if you got time, maybe read through Hebrews chapter 11 today, and you read the story of those that, hey, by faith this person did this. I love the story of Noah. Here's a guy that God comes to and says, listen, I want you to build a boat 450 feet long, 75 feet high, and 45 feet wide. A crazy, crazy race to run. It makes absolutely no sense. Nobody bought it. Nobody said, I believe in your race, because if you remember, if you read in the Bible, it says that no one listened to Noah. He was a preacher of righteousness and nobody responded. So he's running his race that nobody buys. And in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 22, it says this of Noah. And Noah did everything just as God commanded him. You see, the ending you want in your race, is you want that ending from Jesus that says, well done. You finished the race. You didn't just end, you finished. Well, here's the interesting thing. If that's the ending you want, the expectation is the same for everyone. You see, your race is different than their race, and your race is different than their race, and your race is different than my race, but you know the expectation is the same for everybody? Faithfulness. A life of obedience. Nobody gets an out. And so the ending you want and the expectation you want are the same thing, and that is a life of faithfulness. And that life, here's the key, what we're talking about today, is going to require perseverance. And the reason you know that is you just study the scriptures and it tells you you're going to need perseverance. You'll remember a couple weeks ago we talked about this race is your life. It is the course of your life. And you remember this, the Greek word for race, agon? It's a word that means to struggle. It describes a physical tension. You ever watch somebody run a race? It's ugly. It's painful. If you run a race, your muscles burn and your legs burn and you can't breathe. He says, that's your life. This word is used six times in the New Testament. This is how it's translated. And if you've got the New American Standard Bible, you recognize these. One time it's used conflict, one opposition, one time a race, this one. One time a struggle, two times it's used and translated as the word fight. This doesn't sound like an easy way, does it? And so the reason you have to have perseverance is what Jesus is trying to tell us is this. This thing that you're in called the Christian life is very difficult. And if you aren't aware of that, you may be surprised by what you face, or you may be overwhelmed, and even worse, you may quit short of the finish line. So when people don't buy into what you do, they don't buy into what you say, they don't buy into what you, the way you live, and the way you do your marriage, and raise your kids, and live your life, and the way you talk, and what you live for, don't be surprised. As he says right there, it's a conflict, it's a fight, there's opposition, it's a struggle. And so he says, you better run the race with perseverance. The word perseverance, it simply means to abide and stand up under. So you're going to have difficult circumstances on this. Isn't this a great marketing tool for Jesus? I thought about that while I was sitting down here going, this is what we want for people. Follow Jesus, it's going to be tough. He's the one that said, take up your cross and follow me. What was the cross? An instrument of leisure. No, an instrument of death. If you wear a cross, you're wearing an instrument of death. He says, that's your race. That's your struggle. And so he says, you're going to have perseverance. You're going to have that quality of character that says, I'm not going to surrender when other people don't buy in to what I do. I'm not going to surrender when the circumstances don't go my way. Because perseverance happens when something comes across your life that is difficult, that is unsettling, that you didn't see coming, was painful. And you know what you did? In faith, you kept your eyes on Jesus, and in his strength, you took the next step. That's what perseverance is. And he makes that very clear that that's what this life is all about. Now, it's interesting, when you follow Jesus, you have to understand that nobody understands the life you're living like Jesus does. I mean, you think about Jesus' life. He understood what it was like to be rejected and misunderstood, right? I mean, they killed him. Everywhere he went, he was misunderstood. He knew what it was like to face trouble on the horizon. So you're going back to work tomorrow morning and you're going back into school and you're going, man, they don't get me. They don't get what this my life is about. And Jesus goes, yeah, I know. Because the cross was in his horizon. You know what? Jesus understood what it was like when your friends don't stand with you. Peter, I don't know who that guy is. Never heard of him. Judas betrayed him. Many of his followers would turn back and go, I'm not going with him anymore. It's too crazy. Jesus knew what it was like when people lie about you. So the people at work or people at school going, this is really what you want. This is really what you're trying to do. Jesus goes, yeah, I understand. And Jesus understood what it was like to be alone. You ever felt like in this race you're in, you go, man, I'm the only one doing this. I'm the only one doing this at my work. I'm the only one doing this on my kids' ball team. This is the only one, I'm the only one in my neighborhood. Jesus says, yeah, I know. He's on the cross. He said, my God, why have you? He knew, forsaken me. And so if you're going to have endurance, you have to understand the life that you have committed to. One of my favorite words is the word stick-to-itiveness, and I use it from time to time, and people accuse me of making it up, but it's in Webster's. It means a dogged perseverance. Not kind of perseverance, dogged. I will not relent. Do you see, that kind of perseverance, it involves discipline, and we don't have a lot of discipline sometimes. I think a lot of us in our Christian life are kind of like a bottle rocket. You remember bottle rockets when you were younger? You shoot bottle rockets? You're supposed to put them in a bottle, but when you're a kid, you do everything but put them in a bottle. You put them in your hand. You throw them at your brother. Shoot them under the door of the bathroom. All kind of fun things, right? Come on now. I see you guilty people out there. But I think so many times in a Christian life, we're kind of like bottle rockets. A lot of fury at the beginning. It's over. He says this race, though, calls for it means a constant, dogged, I will not quit. Because if you don't have that discipline, when the motivation and the emotion fades, then you go, I got to find something else to do. See, discipline says, I'm going to trust God when it doesn't make sense and the circumstance don't look like they're going to play out and God's late, in my opinion. You ever God ever been late in your schedule? I can't believe I'm going through this because he won't do this. You see, when God's timing is not our timing and when his circumstances are not the circumstances we want, then we have a decision to make, right? Am I going to doggedly keep running or am I going to let up? Perseverance is built one step at a time. Today, I can tell there's some people in the race, they're going, man, I don't get it. I don't like it. I don't understand what's going on. And I would just tell you today that perseverance that Jesus wants us to have in pursuit of him is about the next step. You don't have to get to the last lap today. You got to get to the next step. And so the ending you want is the well done. The expectation is the same, faithfulness. And the encouragement is this. You say, how do I do it? How am I going to get there? If only one person can give you that, then in verse 2 it says, fixing our eyes on Jesus. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. If Jesus is the only one that can give you the ending you really desire, the well done, the expectation is the same. The encouragement from God's word is fix your eyes on Jesus. It means to look intently onto something and away from other things. He says fix your eyes on Jesus because he's the pioneer and perfecter of your faith. He started your faith. Ephesians chapter 2, 8 and 9, it says, by grace you have been saved through faith, not of works, so that no man can boast. You got to back up. And verse 4 says, because of God's great love and mercy, when you were dead in your sins, it started with him, it's maintained by him, and it will end with him. And so he's the pioneer of your faith. He's the one that initiated your race. Why are you in the race, Jesus? Why do you have a story today? We talk about stories all the time here. We put it on the wall. Everybody's got us. Why do you have a story to tell for Jesus? Jesus. He's the pioneer. It all started with him, and it says he is the perfecter. That means he sustains your faith. He strengthens your steps, and he guarantees your victory. He is the one who's lived it. He sat down. If you don't get anything else today, that you have a Savior that sat down. You know why he sat down? It was finished. It ain't time for you to sit down because you're not finished. And so when he says, listen, the encouragement is to fix your eyes on Jesus. It is to look to Jesus for salvation. It is to look for Jesus for strength. It is to look for Jesus for direction. And then he says this in verse 2. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Look at this. For the joy set before him. You got any joy today? If you don't have joy, you need to fix your eyes on Jesus, because Jesus, facing what he faced, we just went through it, didn't we? For the joy set before him, endured the cross, scorning its shame. How in the world did Jesus do that? The cross was between Jesus and the outcome that he wanted. You ever thought about that? The outcome that he wanted was the glory of God, to glorify his Father, and he wanted to connect you with your dad. The thing that was between where Jesus was and those two things happening was the cross. The ending that you want, the well done, good and faithful servant, for you to actually be able to say, I finished the race. Where you are today, there's something in between those two things. It's called life. It's called today. If you're alive tomorrow, it will be called tomorrow. And you have a decision to make. And he says, when you fix your eyes on Jesus, you're able to go through whatever is between you and what the Father wants. When you look at the cross, and it says, for the joy set before him, literally, he went through that for the joy of you being connected with the Father. He went through that for the glory of the Father. You know, we read in John 17, it says this, and that's why he sat down. That's why he sat down. It was over. He finished it. In John chapter 17, before Jesus is crucified, this is truly the Lord's Prayer. He's praying. He says, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life. He's trying to bring you back to the Father. To all those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by what? By finishing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. And he sat down. He sat down. And so the writer of Hebrews tells you, and he tells me in verse 3, it says, consider him. The word consider means to study, to meditate upon, to go over and over again in your mind. Consider him, consider Jesus, who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Folks, you're in a race. We can all stop whining that it's tough. Okay? The only question today is when it gets tough and the agony comes and the conflict comes and the fight elevates, the only question is what are you going to consider? What are you going to go over and over in your mind? What are you going to focus on? And the scriptures tell us over and over again, consider him, Jesus. Focus on Jesus. Because when you do that, you know what happens? The things that are making it difficult today, the distractions, they fade. When runners run, they don't look around, do they? Distractions fade. Fear becomes faith. Read Hebrews chapter 11 and ask yourself, do you think there was any fear in any of those that were held up as people of faith? Absolutely. My boy Noah, he's building a boat in the desert. You think he ever got up in the morning going, I look like an idiot? You think the neighbors came alongside him and go, you go, boy, we're for you. No, you're nuts. But when you're focused, distractions begin to fade and fear becomes faith. And when you're focused on Jesus, you don't have time to compare with those around you in their race. When you're focused, you don't have to worry about the applause of the crowd. Because you got a race to run. I've got a race to run. So what do you do tomorrow morning? Forget, what do you do this afternoon? Well, let me give you this before we leave. Don't try to finish the race today. Just focus on your next step. Focus on your next step. Don't look back. I don't know what happened yesterday. I don't know if you were a flop yesterday or last year. Whatever it is, focus on your next step. The Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 3, he says, one thing I do, forgetting what is behind, I strain toward what is ahead. What? What Jesus Christ has called me to. And so one of the things you need to do today is just commit to go, I'm not going to look beside me. I don't know what this person's doing in their race. I don't even know what race they're running. That's not my race. I'm not going to look back at what I've done. Because here, sometimes we look back because we won't go, look what I did. You ain't finished. And sometimes we want to go, well, years ago I used to. Don't look back. Don't look around. Focus on your next step. That's why you heard him mention it in the video. We call our next steps class, we call it what? Next steps. That's very, very creative. You know why? Because you never arrive. Best I can tell, all of you are still alive and breathing at the moment. That means you got a next step. You got a next step until your step is into glory. And so you just focus on your next step. The second thing you need today, if you're going to run your race, because this place is messed up, this thing called life, this thing called the world, you got to have perspective. Perspective means I see something over here and it impacts what I do over here. Rick Warren says perspective leads to persistence. He says, when you understand your why, it will impact your how long. What's your perspective today? Is it just about your circumstances, about what's going on around you? Is your perspective, I've got a God who created me, who saved me, who gifted me, empowered me, and called me, and commissioned me to run a race only I can run. The God of this world has given me a divine agenda. And so when you get up every morning and you keep that in mind, then that gives you some perspective and that gives you a little persistence. And when you understand why you're here on this planet to run the race he called you to, guess what? You take another step. Because your why, if you don't understand why you're here, will determine your how long. And the reality is, let's just be honest, folks, there are people who call themselves Christians in this building who are walking, watching online, who have absolutely quit. They've quit. And so the third thing you have to do is this. And not only do you have to focus on your next step and every day get some perspective about why you're here, the third thing you have to do on a regular basis, and I say this often, is you have to decide. You have to decide not to quit. How do you know if you quit today? How do you know if you're really taking the next step? Unless you actually stop on a regular, I think, daily basis and go, you know what? Today I'm going to press on. Today I'm going to focus on Jesus. Today I'm going to run the race that he's called me to run today. Because if not, what happens is we get to a place and we do the things we've always done, sing what we've always sung, check off all the boxes we've always checked off, but we quit. Because the race is a struggle. The race is demanding. The race calls for you to lean into the finish line, not coast to the end. And so every once in a while, just back up and go, am I really running the race? Am I really taking my next step? Am I really waking up every day and go, the reason I'm on this planet is to fulfill the divine agenda God has for my life. And when that happens, you'll know it, because the things around you won't be nearly as impressive. That's the kind of the song we used to sing. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, and the things of this earth will what? Will grow strangely dim.